be like Jesus, don't we? We all need to grow in his likeness. A lady in the church went to the preacher. She went to confess sin to the preacher. She said, "I must confess a great sin in my life." The preacher asked, "What is it?" She said, "It's the sin of pride. Because I find myself standing in front of my mirror for hours admiring my beauty." The preacher said, "Lady, your sin is not the sin of pride, it's the sin of imagination." Now, I'm sure nobody here has that problem, the sin of pride. You may have the sin of imagination, but you don't have the sin of pride, I don't think. I hope not. Most of us, there's something about ourselves we don't like, right? Maybe it's our face, maybe it's your teeth, maybe it's your hair. Maybe it's those wrinkles that just keep coming. Our weight, this bulge, that bulge. There's always something that we don't like about ourselves. But many Americans are interested in changing their appearance, according to the American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery Survey. Most of us want to look good. We want to look our best, at least. But we want to be presentable. My wife laughs at me because even when I wear work clothes, I iron them. I tell her, I have to look good for you. I'm dating her 33-some years later. Right? And I'm a pastor, so I should always look good, even if I'm in work clothes. So we always make ourselves presentable. Always care about your appearance. Okay? I think most of us would like to change something about our appearance. But the most important thing that we can change, folks, is our character. The physical is temporary, but the spirit is eternal. Your body is temporary, but the real you, your spirit, is eternal. A man named Harry Drummond said this, "To become Christ-like is the only thing in the whole world worth caring for. The things before which every admission of man is folly and all lower achievement is vain." Our greatest goal in this life is to become more like Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose for us. Amen? And then, folks, we have the ministry. You are shaped for God's presence. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 says, "It was he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." God's people are supposed to be individual. Supposed to be involved. Hear me. God's people are supposed to be involved in works of service. All kinds of Christian service. Can a person be a part of a family and not contribute to that family? Even as a kid, folks, I had certain responsibilities. I had certain chores. Because I was part of the Roberts family. I had to wash dishes, had to carry out the trash, I had to mow the grass, had to keep my room clean, had to cut and chop wood, had to work with my dad in the junkyard or in the construction job, whatever it was, had to do my own laundry. If I didn't do my own laundry, my brothers got into my clothes. So I said, "Mom, teach me how to run that washing machine and the dryer so that I could do my own laundry and hide my clothes." So I had to do my own laundry. I had to work the garden. My dad had the biggest gardens, two of them, probably about as long as this building, as wide as this building, every year. I hated gardens. I loved the food. And it would get me when Dad would sit down in wintertime and we're eating green beans and potatoes. Said, aren't you glad I made you hoe them beans? It went right through me. So I had to work gardens year in, year out. Pick berries. My brother Matt, every year that guy would go down and find berries and come back and tell Mom, we found berries. Get the buckets, let's go, kids. I wanted to throw a rock at him or something, hit him with a board. Every year, I promise you, drove me crazy. It was just part of being the family, though, folks. You see what I'm saying? So can you be a part of a family and not contribute to that family? Let me tell you something. Growing up was rough in my family. You worked hard. And we should, you know what? And today, I thank God for that. I am not afraid of work. I promise you that. Because Dad wouldn't allow it. My dad put me up on the roof of our house one time. I was scared out of my mind. And I wanted to play. He said, get up that roof right now. I had no choice. We were working on the roof, and you were going to do it with him. But we all need to contribute to the family of God. We should never want to just sit back and say, let somebody else do it. Amen? We all must contribute. I have heard of some men, husbands and fathers, whatever, who do little or nothing around the homes. That irritates me to no end. But they bring home the bacon and all that good stuff, so to speak, but that's all they want to do. Personally, I don't think it's a very good leader. Come on. Being a part of a family means being involved in service in some form or another. And that is also in the church. What can you do in the church to help serve? Find out what you can do to help serve in the church. You could help clean the building. Right, Brother Alejandro? Amen. Teach Sunday school. Work in VBS. Work as a greeter. Work as an usher. Work with the youth. Praise team. On and on and on. There's so many things we can do. Don't just sit around and say, let somebody else do it. You're a part of a family. Amen? Someone asked a man by the name of John Wanamaker in 1890, he was a well-known man, how do you get time to run a Sunday school with your thousands of scholars? And in addition to the business of your own store, he had his own store, plus he was the postmaster general. A lot of obligations. Amen? He said, how do you get time to run a Sunday school? And instantly, Mr. Wanamaker replied, why, the Sunday school is my business. All the other things are just things. That is an awesome attitude. Amen? That is an awesome attitude. Praise the Lord. I worked a secular job for years, but my desire was to get home, take care of my family, and do things at the church. To be a part of what's going on at the church. We did not miss church, did we, Nick or Nate? We were a part. If there's something going on, we were a part. That's what my dad taught me. If the doors of the church are open, guess who is at the church? The Roberts family. All eight of us and any cousins that were dragging along, which were usually several. When I told you about those gardens and all that other stuff, believe me, my cousins know all about it. Because if they come over and they wanted to go do something, they wanted to play softball, because my dad made us a nice field, okay? Guess what we had to do first? Help me do my chores, then we'll go play. You see, folks, all like this one brother, Mr. Wanamaker said, why, the Sunday school is my business. All the other things are just things. If you look at things like that, and God will bless that attitude. God will bless that hunger and that desire. And you know, the scripture that Pastor likes, anybody know what it is? Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So years ago, folks, I decided that God's promises were sure. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe God's word today? Do you believe? You can take a promise like this and apply it to your life and watch God bless you. Watch him bless you. You see, Mr. Wanamaker, he made God's business his business, which is something we all need to do. Because, see, it will bless you, it'll bless your family, it'll bless your neighbors, it'll bless your co-workers. You know, I like to believe that whenever I was working a secular job, that company was blessed because they hired me who was a Christian, who loved God. Amen? Why not? God uses people in the world to bless us, but we have to be there. God's purpose is that we all get involved in some kind of meaningful Christian service. And then, folks, we have to be missions. You were made to tell others about Jesus Christ. He didn't just save you to warm up. Listen, if God didn't want you to get involved in the service of his kingdom, when he saved you, he'd take you straight to heaven. Think about that. If he'd have saved you, he'd just taken you straight to heaven. That's fine. I don't have nothing for you to do. Here, come, boom. No, he saved you for a reason. To tell others. Amen? Matthew 28:18-19. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. You see, first, one of the things he says, go and teach. First things he says, go and teach. Then he says, once you've taught them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. What is that name? Now, we know people get that messed up. That's another lesson for another time. But let me just tell you this. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. It's what you are, something you are, okay? So it's the name of that, and that is Jesus Christ. God has given us a mission in life, and it is called the Great Commission, okay? Acts 8:4 says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching. They. Didn't just say the apostles, it said they. So we all, folks, we have to preach the word of God. Tell people about your God. The early Christians preached the word where? Wherever they went. They had a mission to fulfill, a message to proclaim. So, you ever heard of Max Lucado? He wrote a book, and it's not about me. He talks about the squid eyes, the firm jaw, the raw bone, who? The Pony Express rider. And they had one assignment, and that was to deliver the message safely and quickly. They seized every advantage. They looked for the shortest route. They found the fastest horses, and they found the lightest saddles. Only the sturdy, the strong were hired. The young and the orphans were preferred. And those selected were given $125 a month. That was good money in 1860. A Colt revolver, and they were given a lightweight rifle. A bright red shirt, blue trousers, and 8 hours to cover 80 miles, 6 days a week. Hard work, but the message had to be delivered. You see, folks, the Apostle Paul was much like that Pony Express rider. Hard worker, long hours, but the message had to be delivered. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 and 16, I am obligated both to the Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. But That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. Folks, we have an obligation, and that is to get the message to others. Your mission field. Your mission field is your family, your neighbors, your co-workers, the people at the bank you go to, the gas station you go, that's your mission field. Your area of influence is your mission field. God saved you to help them to know Him. Okay? We have an obligation to others. God didn't save you to sit on a pew and warm it. He saved you with a mission. And most of us, come on, that's it. Most of us just haven't caught the vision, or else don't have the commitment or the concern. Our daily thoughts, our daily prayers should be, thank you, Lord. You deserve my life. You deserve, God, my worship. God, you deserve my adoration. God, you deserve my time. God, you deserve my devotion. You deserve, God, my love. And God, it's all about you. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Thank you for coming out here on Wednesday night, folks, and allowing the teaching of the Word of God to be a part of your life and help you to be what God wants you to be. God bless you. You're dismissed. Remember, folks, Sunday, the 22nd, a.m. only, December 29th, a.m. only, p.m. practice. Please, if you want to be a part of that, I encourage you, everybody, to be a part. Get a hold of Brother Nick and Sister Chrissy. If you have, you need to sign up for food, please see Sister Denora right here. Let her know what you'll be making. God bless you. You're dismissed.